PJs and wine.
We are so out of practice with that.
Yeah, it's been a minute. Happy New Year, everyone. Happy 2020. It's the Roaring Twenties.
Whoop, whoop.
Sure is. It sure is.
You've been excited about I think you're mostly excited just because it's called you can call it the Roaring Twenties again, isn't it?
100%. The fact that I get to walk around in a flapper dress for no reason makes me incredibly happy.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'd say that's a fair assessment as to why you should be so happy.
I mean, why not? At least you do kind of have an excuse. Like, it's not like you're just randomly walking around in a flapper dress, which I wouldn't put past you anyways.
So. Nobody could say anything. I mean, granted, I live in New York, so people still wouldn't say anything, but it's still very, very exciting. And they just want, like, the 20s fashion to come back and the 20s dancing. And I do not like the millennial stuff. I just don't. But enough about me. Hi, everyone. I'm Christina, and I am with my two best friends all the way across each pond. Excited to be together again for 2020. We've taken almost a year off. We haven't spoken to the podcast PJs. Thank you all for tuning in. Ladies, introduce yourselves.
Shall I go? All right. Well, I'm I'm Estramira. I am hailing from sunny West Hollywood, California, which is basically Los Angeles. Though it is a bit cooler today. It's been a little bit cold for LA. I actually think it's warmer in New York than it is in LA right now. Because you guys it's like in the 60s, right?
Yeah, we're 65 today.
Yeah, we're 56.
Woo!
Wow.
I don't know what that is in Celsius because I'm bad with that stuff. So maybe V, you can help with that. But yeah, my boyfriend's on a work trip in New York right now, New York City, and he was saying it's warmer there than here. So that's interesting. But yeah, it's sunny, so that's nice.
Do you actually get to like wear a cardigan?
I am wearing a scarf from Norway.
What?
And a jacket. I even wear my puffy jacket that I wore in Russia. But I also wear that puffy jacket everywhere. And I swear, I know I'm from the East Coast. And I, you know, was back on the East Coast for the holidays. And it was snowing and lovely. But LA has really made me become not used to cold weather. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. I get that. I'm Victorine, and I'm coming to you from surprisingly sunny, for the one day this week, apparently, Kent in England, where it has been mostly rainy, not too cold. It's been about 10 Celsius on average, and we've got a giant storm coming. I'm not sure what 56 would be in Celsius. But I know it's quite cold because when it used to get down to the 60s in Florida, I remember everybody would be putting on like UGG boots and their sweaters and their coats and be like, oh, it's freezing. And I would laugh. But now I am such a little whiny person that is always cold. I've never dreamt of going back to beach holidays like so much since I moved here. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I know, being like, I still can't get used to the cold. I'm even like Esther is saying, like, even though you're in it and, you know, you dress for it and whatever, I'm very warm blooded. I love the heat.
You're like a lizard.
I am.
Are they? No, they're not warm blooded. They're cold blooded.
Well, but whatever. Like whatever creature likes the heat. Yeah. Alligators.
Well, alligators are my favorite animal, so cool.
Perfect.
That explains a lot. Explains a lot. Why we're friends.
Yes. Oh, I missed you guys so much. We have lots to talk about today. Well, a year's worth, practically. So what we're going to do is we're going to chat about our year in review, kind of like a Reader's Digest version of our year in review. And then we're going to talk about our goals and dreams and exciting upcomings for the roaring 20s. And then shout out to Australia and save some animals while we're at it. So, yeah. So who wants to go first on their Reader's Digest 2019 recap?
Do you want to go first, Christina?
Yeah. All right.
Let's do it.
I brought it up.
You started it.
Let's see. 2019. My 32nd birthday, my mom's favorite number. Yep. My mom beat cancer, so we went into the year going strong.
Woohoo!
And I gotta go month to month because I can't remember what I did.
So like, full, such
back
a full
my
year.
Agenda. Such a full year. There's a bunch of daybreakers. I know that. No really big trips this year other than Christmas in Brazil, but we do that every year. So like during the year there was, I don't think we went anywhere, no big trips. But then my mom broke her arm putting up hurricane shutters. That was in the summertime. So then I went home for a couple months to help her to Illinois. So I went to Illinois this summer. And then came back and it was Guy's birthday. We had the US Open, which is exciting. And then Halloween. What were we for Halloween this year? Drawing a blank.
You guys did Harley and the Joker, didn't you?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was like, you always show all your amazing Halloween costumes and I can never keep track of like exactly
what year was that's how I feel too. I'm like, what year was this year? That's right, because the Joker movie came out this year, so yeah. He was all excited, so he got to pick this year's Halloween costume. We did Harley and Joker. I also got to model on the actual stairs where the Joker was filmed. That was really cool. And then Thanksgiving we went to Florida and I saw my aunt that I haven't seen, or yeah, my aunt, my dad's sister that I haven't seen in like 10 years, which is very exciting. And then we went to Brazil for Christmas and Argentina. So we went to Argentina for Christmas and then we spent Brazil at the beach for New Year's and my parents got to come. So that was a lot of fun. So that was my year. Oh, and we bought a house, but we talked about that already. That was like end of last year, beginning of this year. But we've officially been in the house a year. So that's exciting.
So exciting. Yay. That's a great year.
It was. It was a really, really great year. Oh, I forgot. The commercial aired. I don't know if I count that as last year's success or this year's because it just aired. But our Verizon commercial is now on air and it's very exciting.
The Victorine.
Victorine had a really good year. Victorine, what did Victorine do? God, I don't even have an agenda. I can't even look back. I know, it's terrible. So I don't know if I've talked about this on air, but I know I've told you guys, I write romance novels. So I started that when I kind of took off work to do some writing and to come back home and be freelance and stuff. So that's been exciting and that's been going really strong and I'm enjoying it so much and just keep on writing. So I think I'm up to 7 novels that I've managed to finish so far, a few scripts and things. Which for somebody who never finished anything, I'm really excited. So that's been the main journey, is keeping that up and looking at a bunch of opportunities, and hopefully 2020 will bring kind of the outcome of a few things that I've applied for and done. So that would be really exciting, and knock on wood and all that. And then I've been working on a few VNT projects with Tilly, and so that's going well, and hopefully again 2020 is going to see the fruition of those, which is
super, super exciting because we've been working on them for a long time now. And then in July, again, I don't know if I've talked about this on air, but you guys definitely know because you were amazing. You sent me the most gorgeous flowers. I had a hysterectomy, which I think it's very important to kind of demystify as a procedure. And I'm feeling so much better and just like 100% a new person. And it's been really, really good. And it was a great journey to go through. And very, very nice to have support of everyone and, you know, my mom. So that was good. And in September, I went back to France for a little bit for a friend's wedding, a friend from middle school, which was really, really lovely. We've known each other for like almost 20 years now. So to see the first of us get married was like really emotional, but also like super fun. And yeah, so that's my year pretty much. And then just keeping on, keeping on.
Amazing. So I know every woman's biggest question about, like, you know, hysterectomy. And it's like, I had a friend who got one very young as well. And, you know, her mom gave her the hardest time and was like, you're never going to be able to have kids. And like, did you go through any of that? Or did you get any of that from anybody? Or how is that going, like, in your mindset?
It was a strange mindset, but I did take a lot of time to think about it. I think the very important thing that I knew going into that was that I never wanted children. That was never a dream of mine to be pregnant and have children. Like, yeah. I would consider having children with a partner, but I would like to, like, I'd always thought I would adopt or foster or something like that. So I think going into that already, I had that pressure a little bit less of, despite having dealt with all those questions over the years or comments from people, oh, you just need to meet the right person or this and that. It was never something that I envisaged. So that made the decision a little bit easier. But I did find it, I think, like I said, it's important to demystify it because it's one of the most performed procedures, actually, gynecologically speaking. And it's come such a long way, and it can help relieve so many different things that I think people are afraid of it because of its history, because of this kind of idea of sterilizing yourself or it being a really horrible thing. And it's not. Not in every case. Of course, there, you know, every case is different and you have to make the right decision for you. But I think it's important to always remember that it is your decision 100%. And for me, I was very lucky to have a supportive doctor who knew what he was doing and offered that up. And I didn't have to fight for it. And I didn't have to go against any of these kind of deep-rooted opinions, but I would say that absolutely there are deep-rooted opinions, and you have to just know yourself and know what you want and fight for that, like with anything.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. I'm really proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I think it's amazing that, you know, you are openly talking about it. There is somewhat of a stigma around it. There's a stigma just around illness in general, physical and mental, and you know, especially women at a younger age having such things as mastectomies, you know, and a hysterectomy and stuff. And so the fact that you are talking about it on air, and like you said, demystifying it, is amazing for our viewers to hear. And I just think that I just want to say thank you for talking about it, because there's a lot of people who wouldn't and aren't able to or are scared.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for being supportive. So how about you, Esther? What did 2019 bring you, and what are you looking forward to with the roaring 20s?
Oh, man.
So much.
Right? As I like choke right now. No, I'm just kidding. Man, it's so hard, so much, you know, when you try to look back on a year and think about things, because sometimes it's little things, and sometimes there's just these like real, you know, milestones that you hit, and it's hard to think about which to focus on. 2019 started really incredibly with going to Sundance, which was my first time going to a film festival. Well, our short film Resolve didn't get into it. My co-founder of my production company, who is still a co-founder but not my producing partner anymore, we're still very close friends, though. We went together, and it was such an amazing experience, and I felt that I learned so much as an artist and as a producer there. I'd never been to Sundance before, so that kind of, you know, propelled me in a way of, okay, where do I want this short film Resolve to go? We had already gotten into one festival in 2018. Where do I want to go, and where do I want Team Revolution Films to go? Where do I want it to move forward from here? So in terms of that film, in 2019, we got into, I think, 18 or 17 film festivals. We won a plethora of awards, gotten a ton of nominations, and we're still getting into festivals. We just got into another festival. We only have a couple left. That's been just a wild ride. And a film to think that a film that we made in 48 hours has done this well is just, it's just such an incredible feeling. And well, many of the people involved in that film are on to many different things. We all say that once you're part of the Team Revolution family, you will always be a part of that. So having done that, we did two other projects in 2019. One was a comedy short that now a lot of things I'm talking about, I feel like are now kind of like going into what's going to happen in 2020. So sorry about that, but it's hard.
Apologies. You're doing great.
One was a short called Dirt Cheap that we are now revamping into a pilot for a series that we want to shop around. It's a pretty brilliant idea for a series. I've got my producer thinking cap on. And the other was the opening scene to the feature film that we have in the works, our first feature film. And it did phenomenally well in the contest we did. It got into, it was on a short list of films that got, of scenes that got viewed in San Diego. I think something like 12 films or something got viewed, and then it was nominated for Best Cinematography. And that was my first film that I co-wrote and directed. All the other films, you know, I think Team Revolution itself has done 5 films, and then I've started producing other things, because I don't want to just do my own things. I want to branch out and do projects for other voices. And so, like, right now I have now executive produced and associate produced 2 other projects, and I have 2 films in post-production that I've produced that I'm personally not affiliated with, but Team Revolution is, that are films that I just really believe in. So that, though, was while I produced that, executive produced that, is my first time directing and co-writing something. So that was a really big thing for me. And then I also started working for a much larger production company, which was incredible. I started doing that in the summer, and I came on kind of as the office manager, office assistant, and they started giving me so much to do, where I started pitching things. I started doing treatments. I was reading scripts and associate producing, doing some line producing. By the end, I actually produced my first music video with an actual team. Budget. And it was
so amazing.
Yeah. And I realized, I found, as much as I love acting and acting is my heart and soul, I absolutely adore producing as well. And I really am going to pursue that further. You know, when we started Team Revolution Films, when Poonam Austin and I started it, we were really starting it because we were frustrated with the industry and not being able to create projects kind of for ourselves and not being able to do roles for ourselves. And now I've kind of, you know, felt like, I feel like now I want to create projects for everyone and for all underrepresented voices. And so it's been this kind of shift for me. I also joined Equity finally. I joined Actors Equity and have had some pretty incredible, pretty big auditions and, you know, those almost, you know, getting down to the last round of EPA, like the last round of these really, really big regional auditions. And, you know, it's between me and someone else and not booking. But for that, you know, I always go into a room and I'm booking the room, not the role. Equity is something that I held off. You know, I've been SAG for a very long time and I held off joining Equity for a while. And I finally was like, screw it, it's time. And that's felt really good to do. We, of course, celebrated our 1 year anniversary of PJs and Wine, which I think is
we did.
So many people, you know, start podcasts and don't finish. And while we did take a hiatus because we've all been so busy, I think we've got a really good plan together to continue that. I did two extraordinary plays. One I did at the Hollywood Fringe, which I think is kind of closing out my time at the Hollywood Fringe. Gosh, I think I've done it for 7 or 8 years. And it was a great kind of closeout for me because I've now joined Equity, because I'm getting into more producing, both theater and film. I don't think the Hollywood Fringe is something that I'm going to continue doing. I just don't know if I have time. It was a show called Transference with a director and my co-star, who are two people I respect more than anything. And it was just an absolutely amazing experience. And then the other piece I did was in this, I was with this theater company called Two Cents Theater Group. And it was called Initial Velocity. And, you know, I was runner up for best actress in a comedy. We won best comedy. We were runner up for best director in a comedy. And I'm now on their board. So I found my new kind of theater company and I am producing Inkfest this year. I'm co-producing it with her and who's become a very good friend and another dear friend who directed me last year. So that's what's been crazy starting 2020 for me is we had something like 200 plays. We had to get down to 28 plays, 3 features, 25 shorts, and we're in the casting process right now. So that's been incredible. Travel-wise, I got to go to Ireland for the first time. I got to go to Calgary and Banff up in Canada for the first time. For the first time, I booked a big commercial where they flew me out to San Francisco and my hotel was paid for. That's never happened before. And I feel like personally, I just really grown into myself and really have learned more about self-care, self-love, worked on my interpersonal skills with my friends, my family, my lover, Gordon. And I just feel that 2019 ended with me being able to be with my family, who I didn't get to celebrate Christmas with last year, that I got to be back in the Berkshires this year with my family, which was wonderful. And then do New Year's with, you know, Gordon, my partner, and two of my best friends, and ring in the roaring 20s. And I am just so stoked for 2020. I just feel that there is so much that I'm looking forward to, that, you know, there were definitely hurdles I had to get over in 2019, but overall, any hurdle I had to get over, wonderful learning experience.
I love it. That's so exciting. And can I just say that I absolutely love that you refer to Gordon as your lover. It made you sound lover. So sophisticated. Yeah. It makes me so happy. But that's so exciting. And I love that you found a day job, quote unquote, of being a producer in a production company and whatever. That's, you know, you love as much as acting, because I think that's really important.
amazing to find something, you know, you know, like with you, with your writing and, you know, Christina, with all of the amazing things you do with your production company, but you also do a ton of modeling and all this other stuff, but like for a cause, do you know what I mean? For me, it was always like acting, producing is secondary so I can be able to act. And so I would do all these other types of jobs, you know, which I respect highly. Anyone that is in the restaurant industry or events planning, these things I've done in the past, I respect more than anything. And I was good at those jobs. It didn't give me the same feeling as working for this production office, or this production company, and being like, oh my gosh, I love this. And I'm learning so much that I can now take these skills and these tools and put them towards Team Revolution Films, you know? That's just the feeling I don't even know how to really put into words.
Well, yeah, absolutely. That's, you know, finding the joy. And it's like a lot of people sadly go to work that they don't enjoy, and they're just doing it to, you know, to be responsible, to pay their, you know, pay their bills and support their family. And that's very admirable, but it does say something to be able to work a job where you're actually enjoying it and not miserable and just very healthy. And I'm very proud of you guys.
Yeah. I'm so proud of you too. And I'm so happy we are having this reunion and how far we've come from, you know, a year ago. Well, I guess.
More than a year ago,
because our anniversary was back in April, right?
Yeah.
It's just so amazing to see how much, you know, you both have grown and are going to continue to grow. And I love, you know, the fact that, yes, we've not been able to have these weekly podcasts. I still follow very closely what's going on, and we still have our WhatsApp. Like, I don't want all of our followers or our listeners rather to think that we just don't talk, because believe you me, we do. Yeah. we do communication. And there is going to be a time that we all meet up, so that is definitely in the works. But yeah, so I guess that's our kind of our Reader's Digest recap. What was the next thing, Christine? Yeah.
So the next thing is kind of, I mean, you touched on it a little bit, but basically our goals and our like what we see for the future of 2020. Because I don't like, I was talking to you guys about this on WhatsApp, I don't like the word resolution, because it feels like you're resolving something, aka you did something wrong and you have to fix it. So instead of resolutions, I like to vision board and to just think about what I want for 2020 and get really clear on, you know, my goals and my wants and, you know, the things that I want to be booking and the things that I want health-wise and relationship-wise and career-wise and stuff like that. So that's kind of what I want to hear from you guys.
That's a tough one. Well, not a tough one. It's an easy one because there's so much. It's a tough one because there's so much.
Make sure you want to take the reins on that first.
So I think the big thing that I am envisioning, we'll put it that way, for 2020 is I'm already obviously self-published with my romance novels, but I will be traditionally published. Either for a romance novel or for something else or for all of the above. And I will get an agent, a literary agent, who I like and who will champion me. And I think those are the big ones. And continue the work that I've been doing with Tilly and make those projects come to fruition. In terms of health, just keep on this kind of journey that I've been on to improve my health after the surgery, and make some plans for the future of where and what I want to be doing. I think that's kind of the main big ones. How about you guys?
Do you want to go next, Esther? You want me to go?
You go, because I have to think about this for a second. Okay. It's easier when I hear you both, and then I'm like, I hear y'all, and I'm like, okay.
Okay. Oh, that's good. I'll have that.
So from both of y'all.
No, it's true. It's true. After you finished, Esther, I was like, oh, I forgot to say the play I was in. but yeah, so I'm just going to kind of weave it into my 2020 vision as well. So, for my 2020 vision, which is ironic because you guys get it, 2020 vision, perfect vision.
But so funny.
That was super bad drum. I don't punch.
Okay. So yes, last year I was in a traveling play for kids going to different elementary schools and teaching them about bullying and how important it is not to be a bully and to stand up for yourself. So I'm doing that again in February, and I do want to continue that work and, you know, teach kids, because you got to start them young, especially in this day and age and with the politics going on and global warming, or not global warming anymore, but climate crisis and like all these things, and how like it's all of us that have to make a difference, and it's not just Americans, that it's the whole world. So like, just America recycles, that's great, but if the whole world's not, then it's not going to do anything. So I think it's important to still, you know, do your part, and it may feel small, but you are making an impact. And so I want to make an impact with the kids and stuff in that nature. And of course, I love animals, so it breaks my heart about everything that's happening. So of course, like, doing as much as I can for animals, not just in Australia, but like all over the world. I really want a dog this year. I've been dying. I've been looking at the pet websites, that it's like a pet finder for all the pets that are in the shelters.
Aww.
Oh, okay.
So I really want a dog. Yeah, so career-wise, you know, we got our commercial, but it's not national. So it's like, I'm happy, but I'm not happy when. I am happy. I'm very, very, very happy that we're, you know, on TV and we're in a commercial, and and my husband and I did it together, and it's really exciting. So I want to get another commercial, this time a national commercial. I'm hoping for three national commercials, and Broadway show, even though I'm technically kind of in a Broadway show, but virtually. I can't talk about it yet. It's not open, but when it opens, I'll talk about it with you guys. So yeah, Broadway show, and I want to be a reoccurring on a network TV show. So that's a career wise. I want to continue modeling. Yesterday I had a really cool modeling gig, not paid, but it was a really cool experience to start the year off. It was a completely nude art piece where it was body paint, and it was 9 people creating a very large art canvas out of our bodies. So it was really, really empowering, really inspiring to just like be around a bunch of strangers naked and creating art. So it's very cool. I want to explore. Yeah, it was really, really neat. I'll send you guys the picture.
Was that what you just posted with the yoga thing?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah.
And I started the year with my yoga challenge and my picture challenge. I like doing those the beginning of the year just to like have something, like, because with social media and promoting ourselves and the craziness, I never know like how to start the year. So I feel like the challenges help me have content that's not all about myself, more just about like what makes me happy and how the year is gonna unfold. And so I do those. I definitely would love to go back to Cannes. Our film, Roses Are Blind, is doing really, really great. Bunch of festivals last year, bunch of awards. So going into this year, We want to keep that train going. We're going to submit a couple other shorts that we did under Power Couple Productions. And then we're working on the feature film script for Roses Are Blind. So we're planning us to finish that this year and to shoot it next year. So that's pretty huge, working on that. That's our main goal as Power Couple Productions, is to get that script finished and casted and, you know, go to Hollywood with it. No big deal. Spielberg, the usual. definitely going back to the gym, because Guy is on my ass about how I've gained 10 pounds. I'm not healthy, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going back to the gym. I'm also cutting sugar for a month to see how I do. You all know how hard that's going to be for me. Yes. I said after my birthday, so January 15th, it begins.
Fair. I think that's a fair thing. Then you can have cake.
Right. That's what I said. I was like, you can't take away sugar the first day of the year. It's my birthday. You can't do that to me. I was like, I will do it after my birthday for a month. So we're going to see how that goes. It's going to be a challenge, but I'm excited because it is true. Like, I'm going to be 33, even though I look 21. I have been, you know, hearing more things about other friends, not just like Instagrammers, because I don't believe that shit, but like from like personal friends saying like, yeah, you know, once you're hit a certain age, your body does change and it goes overnight and it's weird. And one day you're eating like a 5-year-old and the next you can't anymore. And it really starts to take a toll on your body. And I know that sugar is a huge, I mean, there's studies across the board about how bad it is. So I really do want to do my best to not intake so much. Relationship wise, Guy and I are doing really good, but I still want to keep accountable with our relationship coach and not just go to him when we have fights. So we can have communication always, not just when we're fighting. I think that's it. Yep.
That's pretty
and
good.
Wear a flapper dress all the time.
Every day. Every day.
All the time.
Every day of the year.
That's a lot of flapper dresses.
I know. I need to go shopping.
All right, Esther. You're up.
Oh, man. Okay. So to kind of, you know, hit the ground running also with this theater company that I absolutely adore, that I helped pick the plays for, that I'm now co-producing their Big Ink Fest. 25 short plays, 3 features. We just, you know, picked all of our directors, which I was in all the meetings with my, you know, artistic director who's producing and then co-producer. And now we're getting into the auditioning process, which is crazy and so much fun to be on that other side. Casting and not like my own, you know, it's not like with Team Revolution projects where we have a pool. I mean, we do have a huge pool of like 200 actors we can use for Ink Fest. We have some plays though this year that have, which I love, very specific casting, especially with our features. Very, very inclusive casting, a very, very represented casting. The plays are phenomenal. So we're doing a lot of stuff where we're having to pull from Actors Access, because as much as we have a really large pool of actors, we don't necessarily have, you know, POCs that are 17, 18 years old that can rap, you know? Right. So we're reaching out to this just amazing, we're seeing the most amazing younger performers. This director we have is incredible. This director, Mark, he's getting them to, you know, they freestyle. And we had this one kid come in, and he was a little bit nervous doing the sides. And then Mark, you know, started playing a rhythm, and this guy got to freestyle. He's like, man, this has been my dream to do this in an audition. And it made my heart just like, ugh. You know, it made me think when I saw Hamilton on Broadway, and I was like, if I had this growing up, if I saw this representation growing up, how wonderful that would be.
Yeah.
You know, right. I mean, these auditions have been so cool to see. And for all the pieces, it's 3 very, very different pieces. We have one piece called A Live Mixtape, which is pretty much just that. It is talking about how incredibly diverse Los Angeles is, and almost each scene is like a track on a mixtape. And it's all these different characters, just colorful characters that you truly like would see on this on the street. Like there's this homeless man character, and it's just, you know, it's rhythmic movement, spoken word, rap, musicality. It's incredible. Then we have this almost sci-fi piece called Loneliness Was a Pandemic, which is three characters, a robot called Robot One, Human One, Human Two. Robots have completely eradicated all humans because they can do everything except create art. And so it's this back and forth between a human who is an artist, who's one of, you know, probably the last humans, and this robot who's trying to figure out how to make art. And it's amazing. And then our third piece, which is one of my favorites as well, I mean, and I love all three, is called Heroes of the West. And it is called a feminist Western farce. And that's pretty much what it is. It's this rip-roaring comedy making fun of Westerns, yet with a feminist twist. Like it's really good, you know, just these over the top, amazingly comedic characters. And that's not even talking about our shorts. So I feel like I'm hitting the ground running.
I need to come see these.
No, like you absolutely do. It's the end of March. I mean, they're incredible. And then we have 25 shorts, which range from, you know, a piece that are three sides of the brain, you know, and it's very physical, to a piece where there's, you know, it's a man and a woman. It's called Corrections, where the woman has been sentenced for 5 years for mistakenly leaving her kid in a locked car who has died. And the husband is coming saying he's leaving because he cannot handle it. She's 2 years into her sentence. I mean, it's insane. Like, and then we have comedies, like crazy comedies. Like it is the coolest festival. Oh, and it's all female identifying and non-binary playwrights in this festival. Yeah.
I'm so jealous. I want to come.
You should. I wish you could. Ah, it's amazing. Yeah.
Give me $1 million and I'll come over. Or just enough for a flight, actually.
Right? Yeah, it's the last weekend of March. It's like, I feel like it represents us so much. And I'm saying in the future, V and even you, Christina, you guys should submit. Because we take Absolutely. Plays. We take plays. The shorts, I think, have to be under 39 pages in the features. Because it's a one act. The features, I think, are 69. Like, have to be 69 pages. But yeah, it's monologues, though. The shorts usually range from, like, you know, normally like 10 pages to like 20. We have a couple of shorts. But yeah, they're great. It'd be really cool to get, you know, I don't know if we've had actually any international writers, so that would be awesome.
Yeah, Vic, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
That'd be so much fun, yeah.
Yeah, so I went on a tangent again, but I basically guess for me, it's really, you know, honing in on continuing to you know, my interpersonal skills with my friends, my family, you know, really just keeping communication alive. Kind of you hit on that a little bit, Christina. You know, making sure I'm communicating well. Then in terms of just my career, continuing to grow and build and meet people. It's like another major thing for me is taking time to breathe and self-care. And, you know, not taking on too many things, because when I take on too many things, it takes a really massive toll on me. I'm someone that thinks I'm invincible and can do anything, and nobody is. So, and definitely travel out of the country again. That's something that I've been trying to do now every year. And yeah, just continuing on this path of just creating art and helping those who aren't able to have their voices heard, you know, help giving them the tools so they can. Not telling them what to do, but saying, hey, I would love to produce your film. What do you need? You know, I've got this, that, and the other thing. How can I help? So yeah, I'm continuing, you know, to work for whether it's this production company, this bigger production company, or another one, because it's so hard in this industry. You know, there's always projects going on. And then, yeah, just creating and Gordon's moving in with me, which I'm so excited about. So continuing to grow a relationship, which I'm so excited about. And honestly, just really trying and hoping that in November 2020 doesn't end the way that I think a lot of us are worrying it might. So trying to stay as positive as I can about that.
Yeah.
On that note, everybody, make sure you're registered to vote. I'm just going to put that out there. Make sure you make your voice heard and don't give up. Yeah. No matter what you're doing.
Yes,
I agree. But also vote.
Yeah, I mean, and you guys know I'm not very political, but the only thing I do care about is animals, and we can move on to that section of the tour.
we're almost at time. I can't believe it.
So we have to make a shout out to Australia and all the people doing their damnedest to save people, animals, land. I mean, it goes all the way from little tiny bees and ants to humans and everyone in between. And I know there's a ton of people doing their best out there, firefighters and animal relief people and just the modern man going out there and helping any way they can. I mean, the pictures are just devastating. So I put up a fundraiser for my birthday. So if you want to donate, you can donate to my birthday fundraiser, or there's so many places you can donate. WWF does a really great job. Also, the Irwin family, they have an animal hospital. That's the one that I signed up for my birthday. They have a hospital out there helping a lot of people and animals. And Wire. WIRE is also really good.
Wire's great. There's, of course, also just the Australian Red Cross. And there's, I, of course, have also specific koala rescues because I am a koala. They also help the other animals, too. So there's the Australian Koala Foundation. There's the Adelaide Koala Rescue. There's also Wildlife Victoria, which is for all animals. You said Wires Wildlife Rescue, which is fantastic as well. It's just devastating. They're estimating it's up to a billion animals. You know, that's birds, you know, insects, reptiles, mammals. Marsupials are mammals, and it's devastating. Not to mention homes and people being displaced and even human life that's been lost. We, you know, if there's anything that we can do, and even if you can't donate and you don't have the funds to donate, please just spread the word. Please, because, you know, there are especially animals that are on the brink of extinction and some that are feared to already be extinct. It's devastating to me. Koalas are literally on the verge of being extinct right now. I do not, you know, if and when, if I decide to have kids, or I know my sister's going to have kids, to, you know, I have a koala tattoo, and people are like, why are you called, what's a koala? Why are you called koala? And to say, well,
there used to be these things.
It's just, it's very sad.
Yeah. And it's not even, you know, the people listening, it's not even just the fact that we love animals so much, we're animal lovers, but it's the whole scheme. It has to do with our whole ecosystem. I mean, if one tiny piece, it's like the butterfly effect. If one tiny thing goes out of whack, it's a huge wave of things that happen. I mean, we saw, you know, just a glimpse of what happened when they started burning down the Amazon. And, you know, that's also our entire ecosystem. So losing this many animals and plant life it's a big deal. And we need to help as much as we can.
And especially there are animals in Australia that you cannot find anywhere else that cannot really live anywhere else. Whether it be in captivity or whether you are trying to have them in an animal sanctuary or something. So, yeah. But let's not end such a depressing note.
I know, but we had to make a shout out. And tell
we did. We did. So what is, let's end on this because we truly are running out of time. One word for 2020.
Magic. Love.
Okay. What did you say, Christina?
Magic.
What did you say?
Picture? Love.
And I'm going to say love. And I'm going to say growth.
Oh, I love that.
Magic, that's, love, and growth. Boom.
I think that's perfect. A perfect ending. And I think that's going to be it for the show, everybody. And we just want to thank you guys so much for sticking with us. And or for those of you who are just starting to listen, welcome. And we hope you have an incredible, happy new year. And we look forward to talking with you guys and being with you guys all through the year, and be your best selves and have fun and take care, and all of the subscribing and fun little information bits. I'm sure our lovely producer Joe, who we want to all thank obviously very much, will be putting somewhere very cool where you can push buttons and rate us and all that kind of good stuff. And we hope to talk with you guys soon, and you can find all of us on social. I am at the Red Crocodile on the Twitter, and that's with Crocodile with two K's. And I'll let the ladies introduce their socials because I can never remember for the life of me, and wish you all a good night.
I am at Koala Star, hence me loving koalas, on Instagram. And then on Twitter, I am at I am Esther Mira. So I am Esther Mira.
And on Instagram, I am at Mrs. MRS Agostini, AGUSTINI. And then Facebook, Christina Jolie Brizza, the one and only.
Ooh. And with that, we say adieu. And we are definitely going to be back in action. We're figuring out when we will be able to do these podcasts, but we will be back. So you will hear from us much sooner rather than later.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks. Love you guys.
Love you. Bye.